Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard. Lots to discuss. We're chasing Mason. So the Phillies give up one of their top prospects to get Mason Miller, the closer from the Oakland Athletics. Shined last night in the All-Star game and, of course, against the Phillies last week. We're less than 2 weeks till the trade deadline. And Jalen Hurts here, does he need his legs to win? We'll check in our Twitter poll in a couple minutes on all of that. But, Hugh, before we get back into it, and really interesting piece of audio about Jalen and about even when he was successful, did he need his legs here? Hugh, we got to thank our friends over the Jug Handle.
Jug Handle.
They came in. We know them. They're all about good times and amazing food, like with their award-winning wings, monster burgers, nachos, salads, and more. Catch all the games, Jug Handle Inn and Cinnaminson. And you can check out their menu, the beer list, more, jughandlein.com. Hugh, the food today is amazing. They made me some Beyond Egg Rolls.
Yeah. You know, Kevin's in the lab back there. You know what? Like, the people at the Jug Handle, they're more than just, like, friends. I mean, they're family. Because, like, Kevin and Nicole, when I came to Philadelphia, they were my neighbors for a little while. And you know how I met Kevin? Because I used to have a Camaro, 69 Camaro, right? And Kevin probably doesn't remember this, but I used to ride down the street in second gear and used to wait, like when I would go to work, and I don't think he liked that too much. And it's like, why do you got to ride down the street in second gear? I'm like, wait a minute, it's a muscle car. You know what I mean?
Well, look at you guys there.
Now
after
we're
all
family, you know what I mean? This is just great.
It's and now
great
they're bringing us food. So what do you have over there? You have the mango habanero wings?
Habanero wings. They got a little bit of kick to them, man. And I can't lie. They brought us some last year. They brought us some pumpkin spice wings. They were really, really good, man. So they have some really, really good chicken.
It's a great place. I brought my son the wings last year. He loved them. So we appreciate the Jug Handle coming out.
I went to
the
bar, too.
The bar's great.
Yeah, got a lot of TVs. A lot of Eagles fans over there, man. That's a great place to watch.
Well, watch the Phils, watch the Eagles, all of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, football season around. Well, no disrespect to the field, but, you know, football.
I know. We're almost there, which is why we're talking about Jalen Hurts. All right, listen to this. I thought this was interesting. Greg Cosell, a couple callers brought him up earlier. They may have heard this clip. Greg Cosell recently talking about Jalen Hurts and about, you know, his evolution here. But he said something interesting about how critical his legs have been to his success. And it makes me think that he still needs them to win moving forward. Here's Greg Cosell.
I spoke to coaches who were on the Eagles staff, you know, is the biggest challenge you're going to face with Hurts is his expansive ability to be able to be a full field player. That's ultimately the main thing. Because the year they won the Super Bowl, and this was evident on tape, but I had it confirmed as well with a conversation with a coach, is the middle of the season. And it didn't show up in the minds of fans because they made it to the Super Bowl. But they cut their offense down because he is not a full field reader. Now, because of his athletic traits and the run element he brings to the table, it did not hinder their offense in any meaningful way. But just from a pass game perspective, they cut their offense down because they had to play to his strengths and minimize his limitations. And that was an issue as well a year ago.
All right, there's a lot there.
That's very detailed,
and
Joe.
He said, I want to make sure everyone heard it. He said in the beginning he heard this from a coach that was there. So this isn't his opinion. He said a coach that was here told him that during the year they made the Super Bowl, which was Jalen's best season, obviously, they cut some of what they were doing down to make it a little more, you know, easier for him to kind of digest it all, half-field reads. And part of the reason they did that, they could get away with it because his legs, he made so many plays with his legs.
And that plays into exactly what I've been talking about all day. It's one of those things, Joe, with you as a quarterback, every year I feel this strongly, that in order to be a successful quarterback, you have to evolve and you have to be different, totally different than you were the year before. Now, there are some things that you do that are your bread and butter.
Right.
But you have to evolve. Peyton Manning, as an example, and I know some people say, why are you using all these Hall of Fame quarterbacks? Because I'm talking about the evolution of the player, not so much the accolades of the player, but the evolution. Peyton Manning had a horrible, horrible rookie year. They threw him in the fire.
He threw him his 30 picks, yeah.
Yeah, but it made him a better quarterback. And that's what you have to do at that position. You can't be the same guy. If you have success early on, watch C.J. Stroud and see how they try to bring him along, whether they bring him along slowly or whatever. But the point is, you can't be the same guy because everybody's breaking down film of you and how you had success the year before. That's why when the 49ers came in here and they talked about the Bosa kid, was talking about, oh, well, we had a book on him because he didn't evolve.
The blueprint, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't evolve. You have to evolve. Patrick Mahomes, perfect example. The year that he came out and he won the first Super Bowl, the second year he struggled a little bit, and people talked about how have teams figured him out. And then he got better. That's what that position needs. That's what you have to do in order to be a successful quarterback in the NFL.
So you know what this makes me think? You remember last year we played the cut of Sirianni saying they weren't going to add much to the offense? Remember that whole thing, Kyle? It was like from early September last year, Sirianni saying that the plan really wasn't to add much. They just wanted to kind of keep what they had. I'm wondering if maybe the Eagles stunted Jalen's growth last year, that they didn't give him a chance to evolve much. Because I mean, I think what Hugh's saying is right, but teams realize he didn't evolve last year, and then they stopped what he was doing well. Maybe that's the whole Kellen Moore point, to now evolve him when they didn't do it last year.
It's sort of like the chicken or the egg thing that we've had all offseason. Like, did the coaching fail Jalen Hurts?
Or did he fail
was Jalen Hurts limited? Did he limit what the coaches were able to do? Like, we have the Dallas Goedert thing saying they had the blitz installments, we just didn't get to them, which sounds like it's a Jalen thing. But then they fired the two coordinators after the season, so they're telling us that it's not. I'm not really exactly sure what it is, but I suppose we're going to find out next season when we have a real offensive coordinator here.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that's a bad place to be in, not knowing who did what. But I think that's part of the reason, to your point, why Kellen Moore is here. You have to fix this, man. And if there's some shortcomings in Jalen's game as far as what he can and cannot do at that position, they're going to show. Because if I'm Kellen Moore, I'm not tied to Jalen in any kind of way. I'm here to make this offense better.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means me exposing you as a guy who doesn't, whatever, I don't even want to speculate on that. But if it exposes you as a guy that can't do what needs to be done to make this offense successful, then that's a problem.
Well, and what's interesting about it is that cut from Greg Cosell, he's speaking about the year they made the Super Bowl. That was the best of Jalen Hurts. And he's saying there that they got away with it because he was such a good runner. Well, last year he wasn't as good of a runner, and they didn't get away with it as much. So if he's declining as a runner, then he's got to evolve, or that running better come back. Those legs better be back this year. 215-592-9494. I think Jalen needs his legs to win. Where do you come down? Plus, we're chasing Mason here. Would you give up one of the Phillies' top two prospects, Aiden Miller or Andrew Painter, to go get Mason Miller from the Oakland Athletics? Miles in Fishtown. Hey, Miles.
Yo, guys, what up?
Hey, Miles. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I think that with regards to Jalen not being able to handle the blitz, multiple times last year, we saw freeze frames of what the receivers were doing when the blitz was coming in and Jalen needed to throw. And so many times the backs were to the quarterback and they were still not yet in the, like, ready to catch the ball part of their route. And so you don't have the dump off plays. You don't have the short routes for blitz. I think a lot of Jalen not handling the blitz well was scheme and was what the offensive coordinator was calling at the time. That said, yeah, the dude needs his legs to be good. I don't think he needs to be a prolific Lamar Jackson or whatever type runner. I think he needs to be smart and use his legs as a threat when it comes time. But they didn't just go spend $30 million on a running back to still put their $250 million quarterback in danger and get him running all the time. You got too many weapons. There are too many good receivers, too many good offensive playmakers for Jalen to have to be a runner.
Yeah, Miles, to that point, that's why people don't like when I say this, but I think the Eagles view Kellen Moore here is trying to make Jalen more like Dak has become, right? Dak used to have all those weapons, and he stopped running as much, and he handed it to Zeke, and he threw it to all the guys they had. I think that's what they're trying to do here so he doesn't have to move as much.
Exactly, and I mean, Dak is a good example of someone, a player who's choosy about when he runs, and when he runs, it's usually pretty effective. He can break out a 20- or 30-yard run at a really crucial moment. And I think those are the kinds of things. Yes, the threat's good, but you don't want to have to rely on your quarterback to make plays like that. Because, like, as much as I believe in Kenny Pickett as a backup, I don't want to see what he can do. Because that means Jalen went down, you know?
Yeah, and that means we're probably in trouble anyway. Miles, what's your take on the pedestrian thing? As Hugh's been on his soapbox today.
Oh, my God. Hugh, if you're at a red light and a pedestrian starts crossing, and then the light turns green, by law, the pedestrian still has the right of way. That's a part you miss from this whole thing, is if the light turns green and the pedestrian's in the crosswalk, that means that person started walking when he had the right of way.
That was not what happened, Justin, but to your point, Miles, but to your point, if you're in the middle of the street, get your ass out the street, man. I'm trying to get to work.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You got to do like the Patrick Mahomes, like little scuttle across the street. Yeah, I get it. But my money's on that person probably started walking when they had the right of way.
Yeah, no, they weren't. But I get what you're saying. And I didn't say anything. I wanted to. But I want to say get your ass out the street. But I didn't open my mouth.
You just waited until 10 a.m. when the microphone
said,
was on.
I just said green light. That's the best part about this job. Whatever's bothering me, I can talk about it on a daily basis.
The last thing I want to add is about moving. I used to work for a moving company, and a hot tip is that moving in the wintertime is the best time to move. It's cheaper by far, significantly cheaper.
Wait a minute.
The availability of higher quality movers.
Oh, well, I ain't moving to December now. There it is.
Yeah, you gave Hugh an excuse not to do anything.
And then another thing to consider is that moving is a seasonal job. And so the movers who are a little not so good usually have to find a different job. But the movers who are really good, the moving companies don't want to get rid of. And so in the wintertime, you got the best movers, you got the most availability, and the lowest prices.
Wow, we just learned a lot about moving. Well, Miles, good phone call.
I mean, I ain't moving to the
I'm taking the over on when Hugh's moving now that he got that information. Cheaper and better movers? Hugh's not moving till January 1.
You know what I noticed about the pro vehicle people in this discussion? Mm-hmm. It's and in a lot of cases, it's that the pro vehicle people are very insecure or have some kind of inferiority complex. It's like you never hear pedestrians talking about, man, like these cars today as I'm walking around. Or it's usually cars being like, oh, the bikers or the walkers. Like you defer to us and you just have to deal with it.
No, I don't have a problem deferring. I have a problem with the little funky look that you give me when you cross the street, knowing that you shouldn't be in the middle of the street when the light's green, and the sachet across the street as you know the light is green. That bothers me. Or like you look at me because I drive a pickup truck like I'm overcompensating for something.
See, there's the insecurity. I don't like that.
I don't like, hey, I ain't overcompensating for nothing.
How about that D, baby?
I'm just saying. It just bothers me because people tend to look back, especially in the city. You know, because everybody likes to drive the little compact cars. I drive a truck. And when I, like, when they see me and they are looking like, how dare you drive that big old truck and the environment's all bad. Like, dog, that ain't, you know what I mean?
That's what you picture the people saying
in
their head?
I paint pictures, Joe. Yeah. You know, that's what I do on a daily basis. They might not be saying that. They just might look like, oh, my God, don't hit me.
I think that's what they're thinking.
But in my mind, when I'm looking at them and they look at me like that, it's like, why are you looking at me like that? Get your ass out the street. That's it.
But they do, again, have the right of way.
they need to move a little bit faster.
I don't disagree. That something, a little pep in the step can't hurt. All right, Cowboy Jim, and this is not the first time he's been on WIP today. Apparently earlier got handled by Rob Ellis.
Got browbeat.
Oh, dude, manhandled.
What's up, Cowboy Jim?
He lied. He lied.
Well, what do you mean he lied?
He lied.
He lied. He goes, 11 people called after that saying, they were fans of the Eagles when I was in high school. One person called after I called, and 10 years later they graduated. He lied.
All right, hold on. Put back on hold. Hold on.
What are you talking about?
All right, I don't know. Let's play the call. So this morning,
I just have the end. Okay. I just have Rob owning him at
all
the
right,
end.
So let's hear this. So Cowboy Jim was on this morning. Rob was in for the camera, and Rob Ellis, who, by the way, is going to be
at the end of the
He's going to be the new Saturday host as Glenn retires here.
Premature. A little bit premature.
That was a finger slipping.
Kyle was just very ready to play this.
This is from, I'm very excited.
Okay, so let's hear it. Now,
from Devin's recording in the studio.
Okay, so this is from this morning show. Rob in, and he put Cowboy Jim in his place.
At the end of the day, you are a bandwagon jumping fraud. That's what you are. And you know it. We all know it. And you try to call up with your weak ass points and you got nothing. I am not wasting any more time of my listeners with you loser.
I didn't hear any lies there.
All right, so now, Jim, explain yourself.
That was strong.
So what happened here is am I understanding this right? Is the accusation that you were used to be an Eagles fan and you jumped to being a Cowboys fan?
No.
Is that what happened?
First of all, whenever he's with Devin, he shows off. He yells at me. He does this stuff every time he's with Devin. But if he's with anybody else, he's not like that.
Well, I mean, he's doing the morning show.
But wait a minute. Don't most men show off when they're around beautiful women?
Yeah, well, he does. I mean, that's
what we do. So what's the problem?
Yeah, so he's trying to be the big man in front of me.
Well,
listen,
he's in for DeCamera. He's doing the morning show. He's got to run a show there,
no,
Jim.
Devin's there. As a fellow Dalconian, that's not Rob showing off. That's just his disdain for cowboy fraud losers like you, Cowboy Jim.
The one thing that gets Rob Ellis more angry than anything I've ever heard on the radio is Cowboys fans. So you're just poking. That's what it is. So that's why I call. So what happened? Why is he upset at you?
Why is he? He's not upsetting me. He just lied. That's all.
What was the crux of it?
Let me explain. Back when I was growing up in high school,
I feel like it's gonna be a long explanation.
The Eagles were not on television, okay? So every Monday morning, do you think I sat around with my friends and talked about Mike Barola or Ron Jaworski or Roman Gabriel? We talked about Staubach. We talked about Tarkington. We talked about these great teams that we loved. And so these are the teams that we picked. My high school, there were no Eagle fans.
Well, that's – wait, where'd you go to high school?
North Penn.
There were no Eagles fans.
There was no way.
No Eagle fans.
That's not
there.
True.
You're
Jim.
Making me
That's
as mad
true.
As Rob sounded.
It was.
You are
true.
The worst.
Now look, I can understand at that time period if there were a lot of Cowboys or Steelers fans. I get what was going on in the NFL and obviously here locally. But there's no way there was none, Jim.
Oh, don't. I just explained it to you.
I disagree.
Yeah, we're
there
calling you a liar.
2,000 people there.
That's a liar. So strong.
Nobody came in. No one came in an Eagle jersey. No one was cheering or anything like that. We talked about all the great teams in the 70s. We chose those teams, and we've been with those teams ever since.
Well, they're good for you.
I can't take it anymore.
And then Rob goes, I want everyone to call from North Penn and tell me this. One person called that graduated 10 years later. He goes, 11 people called and said, Jim's wrong. He lied.
I trust Rob Ellis's math.
Do you not trust Joe
life?
Wechter fielding the phone calls
who
could have been taking them and not putting them on the air, Jim?
And the other reason I despise the Eagles.
So just no response.
There was a charity basketball game with the Eagles. I put together a team in my high school to play against the Eagles. We were beating them, and they decided to change it from a basketball game to a football game.
Well, hold on a second.
Started knocking me around.
So you hate the Eagles because you play them in a basketball game and they beat you up a little bit, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, we were beating them, and they're like, let's just push around these little kids. Let's beat them and get out of here.
Sounds like you deserved it, dude.
Yeah,
you were probably a punk.
You got embarrassed by the
punk
Eagles.
Is so
I mean,
strong.
I think that's
punk
the,
is just
the
so
truth.
Strong.
Can I do my national anthem now?
No,
dude, God, no.
There's no way I'm letting you sing on the air. No shot. There's no shot we're listening to Jim's national anthem.
Spare everybody.
All right, so, I don't know what happened this morning with the 11 people from North Penn High School, but if you If you knew Jim back in the day and you want to call in to defend him or rip him, I mean, actually, we're opening up more.
I will not
that.
Be taking any defense calls.
But if you know Jim from back in the day and you want to rip him, we'll take those calls all day.
Oh, this is great.
Rob was so... When I watched the video, you could see the annoyance on his face.
No, he was thoroughly irritated.
Yes.
Thoroughly irritated.
And understandably so. So from one Rob to another, Rob and Delco. Hey, Rob.
Rob.
Yeah, what's up, boys? How you doing, Hugh? How you doing, Joe?
So many Delco Robs out there. What's going on, Rob?
I'm the real Rob from Delco, Joe. Come on now. They're all frauds like that cowboy Jim you're just talking to.
But not Rob Ellis is not a fraud.
Not Robbie. Now, me and Rob, we're even around the same age. Our high schools were rivals back in the day. So me and Rob got a lot in common. So, but here's the thing. One thing, Joe, don't be a cheapo today. Bring your boy home some wings, Joe, okay?
Oh, I'll bring my son home some wings, yeah.
Okay. He won't get no wings today.
Oh, because he's going to eat them all?
We're going to get those.
Yeah. Rob,
no, I like Joe, so he's going to get some. We're going to get him some.
If there are any left by 2 o'clock, we'll see.
We'll get him some wings.
Hugh, you eat what you want, Joe. Force him out and buy some if you have to, Joe. Come on now. You know what I mean? Come on now. Jeez.
That was a little bit over the top. I'm sorry. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress.
Hugh, one thing for you. I felt like I was homeless. I got 12 to 14 t-shirts. Can I borrow some, Hugh? Can you spare some?
You know, they might be a little bit too big.
Put them in the dryer, Rob, and shrink
them. Yeah, not that.
I'm only about 170.
Yeah, you're not no disrespect. You ain't the biggest guy on the planet.
Listen, that's what I was giving. You know what I mean? I'm fine with it. But and here's the other thing, Hugh, with the pedestrians crossing the street, tell me the truth, okay? You be honest with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ugly people in this world, okay? So if you got an ugly person walking across the street, you probably get a little bit more agitated. But if you see a beautiful woman walking across the street, Kyle, tell the truth. I know you got a girlfriend, Joe. I know you're married. But subconsciously, you're a little more patient with a beautiful woman walking across the street, aren't you?
My guess is Hugh would be less likely to rip the person.
No comment. I didn't rip the lady that walked across the day. Yeah, I just said green light.
She triggered you.
But I said, I did say green light.
Well, wait a second. Let's answer Rob's question. If she was great looking, would you have said green light?
Yes.
No, come on, Hugh.
I would have probably said, I probably would have. That had so much bass in my voice.
Oh, see, there's the difference.
But I would have said it.
Okay. I'd have said,
I'd have said green light.
I am
excuse
too.
I'd have said, excuse me, Miss Green Light. Green light.
Oh, that's basically not saying anything at all then.
No, but I would have said it.
Yeah, here's
some
excuse me in there, Joe. Excuse me, Miss Green Light.
He toned it down a lot.
Yes.
All right, Hugh. Just wanted to ask you, because I think I might have been a little bit more inclined to say take the time. You know what I mean? You're all right. And listen, here, real fast with the birds before I touch with it and with the Phils. Joe, don't you think the Eagles should have fought a little bit more? Maybe we had to pay Jalen at the time. That if they're having to dummy down this offense or strip away some of it during the best season of his career, that maybe they were a little leery giving him that big deal.
I agree. Yeah, Rob, I thought about that they paid him after that.
And listen,
it worked, and they got to the Super Bowl, but the part that's confusing is, all right, if they got away with it because he could run so well, that's not going to last forever. His legs are not going to last for 10 years like that.
That was my point. Like, this was after they had to dummy it down, or whatever you want to say, strip it away, whatever you want to say. They gave him that big deal. So, listen, you know, that was just a thought. Now, with the Phils, I'm only doing it, guys, if it's a combo deal. I'm not just doing it for the closure, Joe, because we could get by. I understand we don't want to get by. This is the year to pounce on it, to go for it. But if you can get me that guy, Rooker, who's got zero protection, like, let's face it, I know they lumped us up that last game in the series, but they're a JV lineup.
Oh, Rooker, yeah.
Could you name me another guy in the lineup besides Rooker? I couldn't.
No, they're a bad team. No, for sure.
No protection. You put them in this lineup when we face those lefties, to start the game or coming in, you know, middle of the game, the end of the game, you put him in between Schwarber, Harper, or you know, with Turner and JT, that guy could hit 40, 45 pounds.
I know. I mean, he's got an OPS over 900. Yeah, I mean, Rob, if I'm DeBrasky, I would be like, all right,
I want them both.
I'll entertain the idea of Miller or Painter, and I want Miller, but you got to throw Rooker back too. And I bet they would do it. To get one of these Phillies prospects, I think they would give him here too.
And Hugh, you said, if anybody put an audition on against us?
I think that's what it was, man. I mean, because he was crushing the ball.
Oh, man.
He was crushing it.
He wants to play in a big game. Rob, we appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9490. For this segment, of course, brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's Color, Cut, Clarity, Carrot, and Cozy. All right. We'll get back to all your phone calls here after the break. Jalen Hurts, does he need his legs to win? Are you chasing Mason with us? I would give up one of the Phillies' two top prospects, Aiden Miller or Andrew Painter, to get Mason Miller here to add him to the bullpen. Plus, it is Wednesday, which means it's a what-if Wednesday.
What if?
And we got some more interesting stuff that came out of Hard Knocks yesterday. We had a little different spin on what if, as we got some more information on how the Giants let Saquon go and how he landed here in Philadelphia. We'll hit it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Which I don't know. I'll make a couple of calls. I don't even know if that's going to happen. But
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being out. I've been around enough players. But he's the most popular player we have by far.
Sorry, partner.
I'm not sure if John Maris slept since March. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. That was a cut from last night's Hard Knocks, the offseason New York Giants Hard Knocks, which really has just become a lot on Saquon Barkley. I mean, the whole show, it seems like, is about their decision there to let Saquon get to free agency. And, of course, the Eagles getting him. How about that? The owner of the Giants there, Hugh, saying he's not going to sleep at night if Saquon goes to Philadelphia.
What's the GM's name?
Joe Shane.
Joe Shane's that's a bad look for him. It really is. Like, when I'm surprised, because I'm not watching nothing about the Giants, but I do see the clips and see some of the snippets of some of the decisions that he's made. That's not a good look for him, because from the first episode, he painted a narrative that he never wanted Saquon Barkley, and everybody else felt like they wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hell-bent on not re-signing him, to the point where he made the comment, what are we paying the quarterback for? We handed it off to the $26 million running back. He was off of the Saquon Barkley bandwagon from the beginning.
It was almost like he was trying to let them down easy. Like it was coming out.
Because, like, listening to that meeting and some of the people talking about the positive that Saquon brought to the table and all this other stuff, he ain't hear none of that. This just makes the Giants organization, in my opinion, look bad.
I agree with you on the Shane thing. And obviously his owner didn't really agree with it. He just went along with it. I'll make a prediction on this. If Saquon has a big year here and the Giants stink, which
gonna slap
the Giants
the
will
lip.
Stink, I think they're going to fire him. I mean, this, like, it played out on TV that the owner wanted this guy back. The GM said, nah, it's probably not a good idea. And he comes here. If he has a big year here, I think that guy's going to lose his job up there.
And I think Saquon's looking at that, man, and he's that's the Giants' worst nightmare, and he's going to make it a reality.
I might go the other way with this. I think this is a way worse look for John Mara than it is Joe Shane.
Well, but he did let him do what he wants, right? He didn't force him bring him back.
But his whole worry is that, notice the first thing he said about Saquon when he was...
He's popular.
He's popular. He's worried about filling his stadium.
Well, he's had a bad team for a decade.
Joe Shane is trying to, I love Saquon Barkley. The Giants don't need to pay Saquon Barkley for next year. That's the smart move for their team. John Mara sees it or not, that's the correct course of action for the Giants.
Most GMs would agree with you.
Yeah.
No, but the point is this. Like, I hear what you're saying, and that's not what I'm arguing, because that's a different conversation. I'm talking more about the way that he handled it. He never listened. Like, I feel like to be a good leader, you got to have some good people to talk to. He didn't listen to anything anybody said. He was hell-bent from the beginning to do whatever he wanted to do, and he didn't listen to reason. Now, to your point about him being the player that they need him to be and all that stuff, that's a different conversation. But I think in order to be in that position that you're in, you have to listen to everything that's being said and then make an assessment. He didn't listen to nobody.
He had his mind made up,
yeah,
and he just kind of went along with everyone else.
And then on top of that, Kyle, to me, the absolute stupidest thing that he said and did in this whole thing was when he was on the phone with Saquon, and he told Saquon to a man, this is not what we're going to do. And then turn right back and say, well, hey, let me know what you're going to do. Hell, you just told me do what I wanted to do. Why the hell do I need to tell you anything?
I don't disagree with any of that. I just, that clip, those clips that came out yesterday, to me, were a worse look for John Mara than they were Joe Shane. This whole situation in this offseason, I feel like it's a bad look for Joe Shane. Really, just the Giants as a whole. They look like a joke.
You could see why they've been bad for a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what is going on?
I mean,
they have
an owner who has no, like, he's obviously pressing his will on the general manager, which, you know, we know that can be a little bit of an icy road. And then we have the fact that, is he really worried about him, the player, or is he worried about him, the popular guy?
Selling seats, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have Joe Shane fumbling around asking the former running back to promise him that they'll come back. They look like a dumpster fire.
Also, the beginning of that clip, he was, I think it was in there, right? He's reading off, I'm not sure if it's the one we just played or the one we're going to play, but there's part of this where he's like, hey, it sounds like Saquon's going to go to the Bears. They're driving up the price. The Eagles are out. Where are you getting information from? Is he reading Twitter? What is Joe Shane doing? That was embarrassing. All right, let's hear the part where they find out he's going to be an Eagle and he is leaving the Giants.
Saquon, 3 years, 37.75. Be worth up to 46.7.
So he got north of that.
26 guaranteed.
Waited over 13
now
years.
Beats the franchise tag number and has a maximum average per year salary of 15.8.
All right.
We're gonna be fine.
That's awkward. See, that whole thing is awkward.
My thing is, and I understand, Kyle. I totally get where you're coming from, but If my GM, or no, say if my owner, say if I was the GM, I think it's on me to explain to the owner my reasoning for feeling the way that I'm feeling. Now, I understand that his party is talking about the popularity and everything like that, but if he's in a position to explain why he's doing what he's doing, I think he owes it to the man that's writing the checks. I don't think he did that. Because it sounds like, to me, the owner was like, why are we doing this? I don't know. They might be playing it up for TV. Who knows? You know, I don't know. But that's just the way that I see it.
That exchange doesn't happen between Howie and Jeffrey Lurie.
You see what I'm saying?
Because Lurie trusts Howie Roseman. You get
where I'm coming
from. Yeah, of course. No.
I think Howie would explain it to Jeff better. This is a bad idea for us.
I don't have a problem with anybody feeling like Saquon Barkley isn't worth the money that we paid him. I don't have a problem with that. But if that's the case, certain conversations that have to be had to let everybody understand why this decision is being made. It don't feel like that was the case. It don't feel like he wanted to do that. He had in his mind what he wanted to do before it even came down, and he did it. And now they're trying to soft sell it or make it feel better.
He didn't want to make the owner feel bad. Like, hey, he probably wanted to say deep down, this guy's in decline. This guy's overpaid. We don't need him, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't say any of that.
He didn't say any of that. He didn't give him sabermetrics or whatever it was you want to talk about. He didn't do any of that.
Yeah, Kyle's point's a good one. It sheds bad light on the Giants, the way they run their team. And it does make you feel like the Eagles, it would never happen here like that. Like, Jeff would get it. If Howie's trying to say, I know he's popular, but he's in decline. He's old. He's not worth the money.
And then you talk about
we got to move off it.
That's it. That's all you had to do, but you didn't do that. You didn't do that at all. So it's one of those things where I look at it and I'm like, this is not a bad look for your organization. I mean, this is not a good look for your organization, I should say.
No. All right, let's spin this to a little what if. So we know the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley, and they used a big resource on a running back, which is the cap room. Well, what if they had a different way of getting a running back? I know Kyle was excited for this one because this was his guy a couple years ago. What if the Eagles, because they obviously now want to have a star back, right? In the past, it was like, oh, just go by back by committee. Now they want one. They signed Saquon Barkley. What if they just ended up drafting Bijan Robinson a year ago? Because that was the whole thing. I was on the train a year and a half ago that they don't need a back, right? They just back by committee, good offensive line. Obviously, the Eagles changed their thinking a little bit here because they signed Saquon to a big contract. What if the team just drafted Bijan Robinson? So here's the facts. They'd have Bijan. They wouldn't have Saquon. They also wouldn't have Jalen Carter.
Yeah, I don't. You know me. I feel, especially when, you know, watching TV and seeing how important Jalen Carter is to the success of this Eagles team. Mm. I think we did the right thing. And plus, I feel like Saquon's a little bit more of a season back. He is more of a season back, and he's going to come in with a huge chip on his shoulder.
He certainly could. I mean, yeah. Certainly. Well, the other part, though,
is we know how you feel.
They would have had cap room to spend on a defensive player because they wouldn't be paying Saquon.
And well, hold on.
Luxury, not a necessity.
Seasoning on a running back isn't always the best thing.
It's like, actually usually a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, you want the least amount of tread.
Brian Mitchell has seasoning on him when he came in here.
The great all-time running back, Brian
Wait
Mitchell.
A second. If Saquon
Brian
is...
Mitchell was a hell of a punt returner.
If Saquon is like Brian Mitchell
I don't want Saquon to be my partner.
It's a disaster. And I like B. Mitch, but come on.
Hey, man, y'all ain't going to be poo-pooing my points.
Yeah, we will.
B. Mitch here ran in 3 years for a total.
Yeah. You ain't got to pull up. Nobody asked you about no stats.
You pulled up B. Mitch, man. This is your fault.
Nobody asked you about no stats.
Brian Mitchell ran as an Eagle for 196 total yards.
Get your numbers out of here, man. No, like I'm glad that we're finally here right now. Because
I feel like OG Wade just saying crazy stuff.
Remember when we had the Bijan conversation?
Yes, I remember Bijan.
But I know you remember the conversation. But remember the fan base and how split they were on the idea of drafting a running back? Mm-hmm. With one of their two first-round picks, by the way. It was like 50-50, maybe 60-40 against the idea. If we polled how many people are happy about the Saquon Barkley signing, it would be like 95%.
Because he's here now.
Well, right,
yeah,
of course.
And plus,
but
we've
like,
seen him in the past. I mean,
but I just find it funny that all of a sudden now it's great that we spent more resources, by the way, than we would have on Bijan Robinson. We would have had a cost-controlled running back for 4 years, less tread on the tires, less injury risk, right, that we know about Saquon Barkley. And you're not wasting, but you're not spending $30-something million on the cap. And I know Jalen Carter's not here, but we might have been able to afford to pay Hassan Reddick, bring in maybe another edge rusher, Brian Burns, or something like that. There were guys out there, man. I'm just saying.
They weren't about to pay.
Hassan.
They weren't
about to pay. Well, that's just one of the names. Like yeah. He was a casualty of the Barkley signing this offseason.
How about LeJarius Sneed at corner?
Yeah.
I like Hassan Reddick. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot. But hell, the Jets ain't even paid Hassan Reddick yet.
Because he's in Japan.
No, he's back.
Oh, is he?
I think he had a football camp.
Are you on Reddick watch?
Huh?
You've been on Reddick watch?
No, I'm just saying. I look at my algorithm. He's in my algorithm.
Camp doesn't mean you're there. I mean, we have Aaron.
No, he was. I think he had his camp in Camden. Okay. He had a Camden camp for the kids.
I'm just like Hassan Reddick's just a placeholder for insert high priced defensive player here that would help you
instead of paying the high price.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It is just funny to me that now everybody's all like throwing a parade that we got a running back here that's, you know, going to be dynamic
that's
and effective.
How
we could have had a cheaper,
Kyle.
Younger
I
one.
I thought you knew.
I know how it works, man, but I just like
and
to...
And we complain about it every day.
I just like to throw things back in people's faces sometimes.
No, we complain
I didn't really think
day.
Either were a good idea. I'm going along with the Saquon thing because he's here now. I'm like, what else are you going to do? Scream and yell? He's here now.
He was a running back, too.
Sure, but he was old
it's
when he
the
got
hill
here.
That I will die. I'm going to die on this hill today.
So wait
too.
A second. But if Saquon is just the new version of Eagles Brian Mitchell, that's not good enough.
I didn't say he was a new version. I just said B. Mitch was a difference maker when he was here. That's all I said.
B. Mitch was a good player.
He's a difference
maker. Saquon better be better.
Yeah, he better. He gotta be better.
I'm just saying, of all the people that were so appalled at the idea of drafting a running back, they sure turned pretty quick.
That's what we do
don't
as
you
fans.
Think, I don't know. It's probably split. I haven't looked at our poll. But whatever the percentage of people that don't want to trade Aiden Miller or Andrew Painter for Mason Miller.
Will be jumping for joy when they get Mason Miller.
Of course. If Mason Miller's striking out Shohei Ohtani in the NLCS, is anyone going to care about Andrew Painter?
It's just, the funny part is that, no, it's stupid to do this. Like you know so much more about building a football team than I do. Guess what's even stupider? Paying that kind of money for an older running back.
I tried to say this in March, and everyone told me I was not fun.
So is this the I told you so?
Yeah. A
little bit.
What if Wednesday is often an I told you so segment? It's
So we need to change the name. I told you so Wednesday.
Yeah, it's repackaged, but it's different. All right, 215-592-9494 on an I told you so Wednesday. Randy is in Delaware. Hey, Randy.
Randy.
Hey, you. What's up, Joe? How y'all doing?
What's up, Randy? Man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. I want to start off with something about that Cowboy Jim, man. He just gets on my nerves. Listen, I compare him. And tell me if you guys don't agree with this. He's like the little fourth grader that sends a note over to the girl saying, will you go with me, check yes or no? And she either doesn't answer him or says no. And then the boy next to him sends a note over and she says yes. Then he raises his hand and says, teacher, they're passing notes.
That's a great way to describe Cowboy Jim. He's a sore loser.
Cowboy Jim.
Sound like something.
He's pitiful. He's pitiful. He's swamped, but at his finest. And that's all there is to it. Anyway, now, on a rare occasion, Mr. Giglio, I'm going to agree with you. Jalen needs his legs.
It's about time, Randy. I've been waiting for us to agree. So tell me, what do you think here? Why do you think he needs those legs?
Giglio, though. He called you
whatever. As long as we agree, we're good.
Yeah, we agree, Joe. This never happened. You know that.
He called you Giglio.
Yo, Giglio, you full of crap, man. We need Jalen to run the ball, okay? We need him to run the ball. We need him to do what he does, okay? You can get hurt yourself walking down the street. If Hugh Douglas is going through the red light, you can get hurt.
I like how you know what, Randy? I like how you tied that
That's
in.
That's right. Randy gets it.
I like
it.
How you tied that in.
He's on a roll.
He's hot. He's hot today.
Randy, when he runs the ball 14 or more times, they're 10-0. Try to tell Hugh here to get on board with this. He needs to use his legs.
Come on. Hugh, I mean, what was our record with the Eagles when you sacked somebody, Hugh? You know, when you had a good game, we won.
I mean, I hear you, man. But we gotta keep our quarterback healthy, man. We gotta keep him healthy. He needs to evolve as a thrower because if he doesn't, we're having the same conversation at the end of this year that we had last year at the end of the year. Same old one.
I get that. But listen, I don't think it's a question that the league has figured him out. I think he was hurt, and I think when he comes back this year and he's able to take off and hit that corner. I think the league's going to be back scratching their heads, wondering, oh, my God, how do we stop Jalen Hurts? And they're going to be pulling back that he's not in the top 10, the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, if he plays well and they win, he'll be right back there in the top 10. Randy, we appreciate it. How about that? Randy and I agree. And, all right, I just pulled it up. That's interesting. Randy had a theory that the Eagles played better, or, you know, when Hugh sacked the quarterback, the Eagles won more games.
See, there you go with this pulling up.
Well, I just wanted to find out.
I'm nervous about this one.
I think it's kind of interesting. You know, Hugh, you had almost the same statistics in wins and losses in terms
50-50.
Of sacks.
Oh yeah.
So you had in wins, and for your career, you almost were. Do you know your record as a player?
No.
So as a player, and obviously you played on some bad teams with the Jets.
Do you think it's a winning record?
Good question. You know that 1-15 season. I think that's kind of going to throw it off. You know what I mean?
Well, it did. So you, as a player, you were 68 wins, 70 losses.
Okay, yeah, that's that, yeah.
Okay, now
so if not for that
1-15,
yeah, man.
How about this? So you had 80 career sacks, 39.5 in wins, 40.5 in losses.
Is that right?
Dead even. Basically dead even. What does that say about Hugh? He brought it the same every Sunday, win or loss?
It means that he had little to no bearing
on his football team. Zero impact, Hugh.
No impact on any game that I ever played.
Did you do anything for us?
I'm okay with that.
Well, I mean, what are we paying for?
I got another interesting tidbit from your numbers.
What's that?
You wore down as the season went along.
Is that right?
Well, in terms of the sack totals, your best games 1 through 4, like September of seasons,
mm-hmm.
you had your most sacks, 26. And then it went to 22 in October, 20.5 in November, only 11.5 sacks in December. What happened?
Because it was cold, man. You know what it was? It was probably because I used to like to beat up on bigger guys. And I remember my coaches tell me, dude, why are you always running into them big guys? Mm. I'm like, I like it. So I guess at the time, I like beating up on bigger people. So I guess at that point, I was just tired.
And Willie Rofe put a stop to that.
Man, listen. That guy right there, man, was a whole problem.
I'm sure he was.
He was a problem.
He was a Hall of Famer, though. I mean,
yeah. I mean, and plus, like, you're talking about a time in an era where you're playing like 60 to 70 snaps a game. Like, that's a lot. For a 265-pound.
Wait a second. I thought we don't complain about snap counts.
I can complain now because I'm old. Now
Country Club Hugh Douglas, man.
I did complain when I was playing, but now that I'm older, I can complain. That's the best part about being an OG is I can talk about what I used to do and make it sound like, you know what I mean, like I did the absolute most.
Yeah, like it was so much better than what's happening now.
Yes, exactly. That's why I do radio, because I make it sound like my era was the absolute best era.
Well, every player thinks that.
Yeah, we do. I mean, so I'm falling in lockstep with everybody else.
That is normal. All right, let's grab. So Gary in Vineland seems to think Cowboy Jim didn't lie. Gary?
Yeah, I mean, if you really listen to what he said, stewardess, cowboy, he wasn't lying. Cause, I mean, did he have friends? He just said his friends weren't Eagles fans. So
he didn't have any friends. Therefore, he didn't have any Eagles fans' friends. That's yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Because I can't imagine anywhere in Pennsylvania not being an Eagles fan.
That's the part that didn't make any sense to me. Like zero people were Eagles fans because they were bad. That's just nonsense.
And Fran Tarkenton, like 0-4 in Super Bowl. Fran Tarkenton. I mean, he was fun to watch, but
yeah, we don't give any Fran Tarkenton takes on WIP these days. No. But that's a rare
for
one.
Good reason.
Well, he played 50 years ago.
How about if we did? We could wave a magic wand Wednesday and not talk about getting rid of Turner.
Well, that's a shot.
Yeah,
a shot.
It is. Well, I mean, he's playing well right now. I mean, on one side, Gary. No, I'm not interested in the magic wand today. He's hitting .349. I'll leave him alone right now.
Good to hear.
So what do you think on Jalen, Gary?
I think he just needs to play smarter. I mean, they need to have somebody there for him as an escape route. Because I think if he keeps using his legs, he's not going to last the whole season. So, you know, just hopefully we'll have a better offense. And, you know, I think Saquon, especially the more stuff that comes out with this HBO special, like I think he's just going to be a beast this year.
I hope so. And Gary, I do think he could help Jalen out a lot. Gary, good phone call. And I'm not surprised we got a Magic Wand phone call. I mean, Trey Turner is hitting .349. I mean, that's going to come up. If he continues hitting .349, will we have to come back to the Trey Turner Magic Wand show and see how I think now?
I think you did your part during the time. I mean, and it was timely. You know, it didn't age well, but still, it's all right.
I smell should Joe Giglio apologize show.
You know, Kyle always for the shenanigans.
I'm
He's
all
always
for it.
For that.
Now, will I have to come out with an open statement?
By the end of the show, okay, if you are going to give your official apology to Trey Turner.
I say no.
Well, you think I'm going to apologize?
No, I don't think you are, but I'm just backing you saying no. No.
We'll find out, I guess. So the Saquon thing in terms of Jalen, I do think the part where he could help a lot, Hugh, is in the passing game. For whatever reason, you brought this up a lot. We thought DeAndre Swift would catch more passes. We thought he'd be a bigger part of the passing game.
I really did.
He wasn't. Saquon should be able to do that. I mean, I don't see any reason why that Saquon Barkley doesn't have what? Like, if you had a guess right now, I would guess 50 receptions. That
sounds reasonable.
45, 50 around
there? Yeah, that sounds reasonable. I think the biggest thing for us is the carries per game. How is that going to work? Like, because, you know, we've all been speculating, what, 20, 25?
Carries, I think 20 touches, 16, 17 carries, three or four receptions, 20.
See, that's what I'm, like, we're speaking the same language, because I'm trying to
touch
figure
the ball
out.
20 times.
Like hand it off or throw. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know, because I feel like there are going to be games where his run totals might be a lot higher. Like, they might be 25, 30 carries.
Well,
like,
he's hot,
carries. Yeah.
Well, that, when was the last time an Eagles running back had 30 carries or 25? 25?
Shady McCoy?
It might be. Do we think, did Miles Sanders ever have a 20, maybe once or twice, had a 25 carry game?
If he's hot, though, man, you got to feed the beast.
They haven't done this, though. I mean, now, they paid this guy. He's obviously better than Miles Sanders and better than they've had anyone since.
Did they ever try to feed DeMarco like that?
I don't know. He was stunk.
He stunk. I mean, who else did we had, like, placeholder guys for? I mean, like Wendell Smallwood.
Who's
Bryce
the guy
Brown.
That, who had the bad neck? Ryan Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
I actually thought he could play, but he was always hurt.
He might have gotten pretty good volume some games.
Yeah, we got to look that up. Last time an Eagles back at 25 and then 30 carries in a game. All right, 215-592-9494. Hurt stuff. Are you chasing Mason? Would you do it? Would you give up one of the Phillies' top two prospects to get Mason Miller? Your call's up. Plus, we got some bold second-half Phillies predictions. And we're down to two finalists for our official anthem singer. We deliberated on this a lot. We thought about what we heard yesterday. I thought it was amazing, all the anthem singers and people that wanted to do this. So we're going to make our pick, who are the official anthem singer of the Midday Show, all in the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, we come back finishing the Phillies a blind date with a trade candidate. That's next on the Midday Show on Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.